Queen Ethelberger's Collegiate on Stray FM's Family Show.
I'm David Crystal, and I'm technically Honorary Professor of Linguistics at the University of Bangor in North Wales. Not that I work there full-time, but I do the occasional talk there. I'm basically a freelance linguist. I wander about the place and give talks to people who want to hear about language and linguistics.
Great stuff. And that's what you've been doing here at Queen Ethelberger's today. Who have you been talking to, and what have you been telling them about today?
Well, the audience has been mainly A-level students, and not just from Queen Ethelberger's, but from other schools in the area as well. But they all have one thing in common, that they're all studying English language at A-level. And the curriculum is an enormously diverse curriculum when you think of the English language. You think about accents and dialects and the way children learn language and all the different bits of language like grammar and vocabulary and pronunciation and all of this. There's so many different aspects of it. The curriculum is very, very broad. So what they asked me to do here is talk about two aspects of that. One was to talk about the future of the English language. Where is it going? How is it developing over the next 100 years, more? Which really means talking about the influence of the internet on English and the influence of English becoming a global language. And then the second talk was a more specific one on child language acquisition, but focusing on the first year of life, which is a year that is difficult to study when you think about it. You know, what do children do when they're 3 months old, 6 months old? They vocalise, but not in a proper language sort of way. So to describe that kind of thing needs to be done in a lecture. You have to hear the sounds and everything. So I spent quite a lot of time illustrating the sorts of things that go on in the first year of life.
What was the reception like from the students here? Were you kind of getting the feeling that it had been a valuable day for them?
Well, I hope so. You'd have to ask them, really. But there are always a couple of tests. One is the attentiveness of the group. And this was a hugely attentive group. I have talked sometimes, and you can see the kids didn't want to be there, really, and they start chatting to each other or even getting out their mobile phones and texting or something like this. This did not happen at all. How many kids were here today? About 300 or something like that, maybe. Kids from not just this school, but from other schools as well. And I walk about the stage a lot, and I try and make eye contact with as many of them as I can. And they're all sitting there pretty rapt, really. I was very impressed with the attentiveness level. And then the second test is, do they ask you questions when it's question time? I mean, if they all shut up and don't say a thing, you think, oh, Lord, oh, dear. But actually, no, even in a big group, it's not easy asking a question in a large group like this. You know, you've got to put your face in front of everybody and you're scared you might say something stupid. But no, I got several questions from the floor, and then several were written down on pieces of paper, and it showed that they were a really interested, intelligent group of guys, and I was very impressed.
Hi, I'm Jill.
His style is very interesting. Like, I wasn't expecting that sort of from a English language lecture. Yeah. I expected it to be quite dry, but honestly, it was so humorous and so interesting and thought-provoking that I think I'd love to see his style of writing and see how his speech and writing compare.
Hi, I'm Jade. He said as well that language is now going to become more like voice activated and that, like, on the internet. It's amazing to think that.
Deborah Mayhew, head of Key Stage 5 Language and Literature. We chose two areas that are on the curriculum. So we had child language acquisition, which is on the A-level syllabus, and we had Global Englishes, Future of Englishes, which is also on the A-level spec, but he covered aspects of the AS level, which is the use of technology and how language is being affected by our use of technology, which of course feeds into the future of our language. So some really interesting debates about the attitudes towards language, about our sort of prescriptivism and our dislike of change, which will really enhance the students' writing. So, yeah, very, very relevant, and certainly will inspire their curiosity.
You mentioned there are A-level students on the whole here today. So I imagine that the talk on the internet and its effect on the English language was of quite a bit of interest to them, because teenagers tend to be very internet savvy. What kind of things seemed to spark their interest? What kind of questions did you get on that?
Well, it's their world, isn't it? In my world, books were central and the screen was marginal. And when the internet came along, I had to learn it as a foreign language, really, and I've done a little bit, but I wish I knew more. For the kids, the screen is central and books are marginal. It's their world. And so they are indeed native speakers of the internet in a way that I never could have been. And so what you find is that they have an intuitive sense of a lot of the languages going on there. I have to slog my way through and study it in order to get a sense of what the generalizations are that you might make. For them, it sort of bubbles up to the surface. But on the other hand, if they don't intellectually try to analyze what it is they intuitively know, they miss out on so much. So I point out some of the things that's going on the internet that they know, and yet they don't know. You know, unconsciously they know it, but they've never brought it to conscious reflection.
Can you give us any examples of those things that they kind of know and recognize, but you...
Well, yes. I mean, the one that is very recent is the fact that when you're on certain types of internet activity, like instant messaging or chat rooms or WhatsApp or something like that, where the sentences are very short, then on the whole, you don't put a full stop at the end of these sentences. If they're statements, you don't have to, because it's obvious that the sentence has come to an end, because you press go and
it's wrapped in a little green bubble,
box or something. Yeah. And then if you do put a full stop at the end of some of these things, it now seems to mean I am being very serious, or I am being upset about what's being said. And this use of the full stop to carry an emotional charge is a very recent development in internet punctuation. Now, they all do it, because I could tell from the way they laughed and so on that they all did it, but they probably have never thought about it analytically as a development in the English punctuation system. This is the first time in the history of English punctuation over 1,000 years that the full stop is carrying an emotional charge. I mean, what people have to realise is that the English language, no language ever stands still. The only languages that don't change are dead ones, like Latin. All other languages change. The English language, whatever it was like yesterday, is different today, it will be different tomorrow. And that's the best bit for me, working out what on earth is going to happen next.
Queen Ethelberger's Collegiate on Stray FM's Family Show.